what's up, Geekscapists? Welcome to a brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan London, your host. And if this is your first Geekscape, well, happy new year. We usually like to talk about movies, video games, comic books, pop culture here on the show. And we are live on Facebook. Let's see, Twitch, YouTube. Oh, and Periscope. If you enjoy Periscope, if you're not watching this live, maybe you're listening to it on our podcast stream. And I'm super proud of the fact that we've been podcasting this show for 15 years. If you're new to the podcast, well, welcome. If you're subscribing and you've been subscribing for like 15 years, I would love it as my New Year's gift for all this free content we make for you to hit the share button and share Geekscape with like three of your friends. Write a review for us. Do something to be like, hey, Jonathan and company, because we're going to see the Geekscape team here in a bit. Thank you for making all of this content and investing in our entertainment. As Big Yank said when he texted me, or also put up on Instagram the other day, he's like, these podcasts and experiences helped me make it through 2020. And we did make it through 2020. And he named Geekscape as one of the things that helped. He sent me a nice little text. I know Big Yank comes off as like a tough guy from New York. And, you know, he's Dominican and he's got like the accent and he's a tough dude. But really, he's got a soft spot there. I know you do, Big Yanks, and I really appreciate you saying that we helped you through 2020. And if that's how you feel, then awesome. Super, super glad. All right. I got to tell you all that I'm still investing in Geekscape and I'm super excited about all this. This is a brand new microphone. It was a nice chunk of change, but I figure it was time to, after 15 years, get y'all a legit microphone. If you're listening on the podcast, let me just, I can't really change the settings, nor should I, but I wanted to go from this microphone to like the whack microphone that I used to use and back, just so you can hear the amazing sound difference, but I'm not going to play that game here. One thing that it does do is when Heidi comes in the room, and sometimes she like hears something in the other room and she comes and says hi, maybe she brings me my coffee. She's always in the background.
Like a good little girlfriend.
Well, did
bringing
you notice
you your coffee.
Heidi just now? She came in crystal clear. she's got a microphone on. I can actually add like four more microphones to this through an XLR. I have a nice little mixer now. And so we can stream. We can add additional people. And one of the things is looking forward to 2021, which is what this episode is going to be all about. I'm going to bring in the Geekscape team. Katie, Derek, Matt, we're going to talk about what we're looking forward to in pop culture in 2021. But for Geekscape, looking forward to 2021, in addition to adding all these new podcasts that Matt will tell you about, is I want to go back to doing live shows when it's safe to do so. And so now we have a way to add as many as five guests on the show at once, all through microphones, like the one Heidi's listening or talking through. And these could be live events. This could be Comic-Con. We could do all these cool panel discussions and have the show that I want to have, which is a fun show with multiple voices and streaming live. That means that it includes your voice. So the comments are open. If you're listening to this on the podcast, hey, try it live sometime. And
also, I'm sitting next to Jonathan right now. If you're listening,
Heidi could literally be on the other side of the room if the mic reaches, and you wouldn't be able to tell on the audio because the mic is that good. We got it all mixed in. Quentin Bailey, good friend of mine, known him for over 15 years, says, "Good to see you, man. Happy New Year." Hello. And Bolt T says, "Hello, fine people. Bolt D, you are one of our rocks here in the audience. Thank you so much for listening and watching every freaking episode. I loved it." He was a big voice on our Mandalorian Season 2 episode that's in the feed, and as well as our Wonder Woman 84 episode that Ian and I did a couple days ago. That was a really active episode. A lot of people had opinions about Wonder Woman 84. Heidi, I'm going to ask that you sit forward, please. This is a visual medium. I need you to sit forward.
Is it, though?
Yeah. Take about as much space in the camera as me. Don't let me take over.
If you put your arm around me like that,
there
I'll
we
sit
go. There you go. Nice. Heidi, how do you like being right next to me on Geekscape?
We can cuddle while you podcast.
Sounds fantastic. Are you okay with me spending the amount of money that I've spent in the last week on Geekscape?
Well, that's not really my place. It's your money, my dear.
I'm down.
It's your decision.
And right? As Chris Robinson says,
"Give me my permission."
Don't forget, Jean-Claude Van Damme is here too. Heidi, is that something that you enjoy? Is the Van Damme poster in our shared office?
It's fine. Since we came up with a compromise for the seamless, for those of you that are watching, you can see a little roll of it's paper up there. It's a seamless for self-tape auditions. Because that's why I always wanted that space to be a self-tape space. And then Jonathan was like, I've got this giant poster. I didn't realize how giant it was. But it's funny. I like it. It's funny.
Yeah. So Van Damme's here.
And I remember Chris, when he was on Friends.
Yeah. Chris Robinson, I think you have a prize pack coming with you to you. I think if Matt, come on in here. Let's get this right.
Yeah. Chris Robinson is the one that won it. Chris, I was a bad follow-up on that, but yeah, congratulations. Your name was the one that was drawn at the end of our Christmas live stream. So hit me up on Facebook, buddy. You got some shirts and stuff coming soon.
Yeah, Chris, I'm going to send you a shirt like this one. This is the Heroes Wear Masks shirt. I'll send you a couple more Geekscape shirts, and let's have you on the podcast. If not this podcast, if there's a podcast you like better than Geekscape on the podcast network, I know there's podcasts I like better on the Geekscape network than my own. Maybe you want to guest on one of those. Let's figure out how to make it happen. I can't speak for all the podcasts. You're always welcome on this one, but let's get you on the podcast. And Chris won that prize pack by donating to Big Brothers Big Sisters.
Yeah, he did.
During our 15-hour live stream, which was one of the highlights of this year.
Can you throw up a comment real quick? It looks like StreamYard updated the way that the comments display, and it looks nice. Yeah.
Well, Matt, I had choices here. Oh. StreamYard actually added a few different formats for their... Oh, Heidi, if you need to cough, check this out. I can just...
Me?
Your volume can just go away.
I love it.
So let me know if you're going to cough. Like, grab my leg or something. Or
like this.
Grab whatever you want. All right. George Pepin says, you know what? She better be okay with Van Damme.
Oh, stop it, okay. George. Nice.
Matt, that is the format I like. There's a couple other options. And yeah, so we're going to talk about this today about like what are the things in 2021 that we're looking forward to. 2020 is behind us. We survived, maybe not on the inside, but we survived. What are the things in 2021 that we're looking forward to? I've got Derek and Katie to add to the show here.
Yay! Happy New Year.
Gotta get in frame, guys. Gotta get in frame. Put your face
down. Listen, Katie got really offended that I asked her to be in frame. I did the same to Heidi. I just couldn't put my arm around you, Katie.
Find your light. It's good. This is good. Okay, great. Yeah, Matt, you got it. Awesome.
Katie's showing that she doesn't care for our podcast.
Hey, dick! Not true.
That was a visual joke, podcast listeners, that Katie compromised before. She put her face right into the microphone.
I was also doing a little ASMR here. I was just trying to get real close to the mic.
NPR. Yeah.
Yeah, welcome. Sweaty balls. All right.
I'm making a little banner here. But honestly, like right off the bat, like what are the things that we're looking forward to in 2021 as a reward for having survived 2020?
Man, I'm really looking forward to seeing that Van Damme poster behind you each and every week.
I love that everybody talks about.
Read John's text message wrong and instead spent the last 2 hours researching all of my favorite things of 2020.
Matt, your ability to live in the past for somebody that loves retro music, retro movies, and still lives at his parents' house, like you got to start forward thinking, baby. 2021 is your year of forward thinking. No more past. I can relate, Matt.
I enjoy reminiscing as well.
Because we didn't do our like wrap our end of the year wrap up articles this year, so clearly we're doing it in a podcast format.
Matt, this is the podcast. Derek is in charge of the articles, and Derek has been AWOL for all of 2020. 2020, I think, hit Derek the worst. Derek was like, I think sometime around like Groundhog Day, Derek was like, yeah, me too. And he just like burrowed in and disappeared. Geekscapists, remember when we had video game shows on the network? Yeah, that guy right there in the corner is the person.
I barely remember at this point.
Then let's start with you, Derek.
My favorite things of 2020? What?
No, they're not doing that.
I just noticed for the first time as well that Matt has so much of the past on the shelves behind him that each and every shelf is bowing.
Yeah,
nice curve to it at this point.
It does a little.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best place to start is I you know, Cobra Kai hit Netflix a few months ago. And, you know, I was one of the millions and millions of people that did not subscribe to YouTube Red. So it was a new discovery for me last year. Mm-hmm. And now I'm wearing it on a hoodie because I was so excited for Cobra Kai season 3 today. And I'm a few episodes in already.
Oh, wow.
And it's been a great start. It's didn't miss a beat. I don't know. It's like really, Michaela's like, this is just showing you that you can't solve all your problems with fighting. And I'm like, this is showing you that you can solve all your problems with fighting. And then just like every once in a while, someone breaks something. So
yeah, like a human's body. How's the acting in season 3? Did it get any better?
Isn't that part of its charm though? Like I thought it was supposed to be bad.
Can we just talk about the fact that people are trashing Wonder Woman for the acting in the camp and in the same sentence say Cobra Kai is great? I just want to say
it's because a woman's the lead in Wonder Woman. That's why.
I'm looking forward to season 3 of Cobra Kai. And if y'all remember, you geekscapists with long memories, remember that the showrunners Hayden Schlossberg and John Hurwitz were guests on Geekscape back in like 2009, 2010. Maybe it's time to bring them back on the show.
Definitely. Who knows?
Derek, do you want to join us on that conversation?
Love to.
Yeah, then bring us back our video game shows. Anyway.
This is just the blackmail show.
Derek, if you'd like to guest on the Cobra Kai episode, go ahead and bring us back any video game content on the network. Whatever you could do. Thank you. I have to bribe him. Like, the Canadian is supposed to be like a socialist. I have to bribe this guy. Like, he's nothing if not a capitalist, this kid right here in the corner.
Super agent or something? Like, because you're talking about how problems could be solved with fighting, but you don't really seem like the fighting type.
He's the guy who made Juan Carlos violent at Comic-Con. Like, if anybody...
Really?
I fall into the Miyagi-Do camp where you don't, like, show it off unless you have to, you know?
I get it. Okay.
And then you just beat the shit.
I was just gonna say, I was like,
should see my roundhouse. Carlos almost did
February, and then we're just giving Katie a video game show.
We're giving him January, and then we're giving Katie a video game show. Katie might have a video game show on this network by herself by the end of this episode.
Let's do it. Let's head up Twitch. It's all on Twitch. Why don't we do it?
George Pepe says he's looking forward to vaccines that will hopefully bring back live concerts, Marvel movies, and conventions. He does not include DC movies in there, but okay, let's go with that. And Bolt T says he's looking forward to the Orville season 3.
Oh my god, I forgot about that. I know, I'm totally the other one too. I love the Orville. Oh my gosh, that show is great. Are we going to talk about Cobra Kai being a great show and not the Orville? Come on, it's basically next gen but funny. It's great. All right, sorry.
It's good. I haven't seen all of it though. A good friend of mine was a recurring guest on it, so I really should get in there and watch it. But I'm excited about Picard. I think that's coming back, isn't it? That one. I don't know if it's renewed for this year.
I think you are the one on that one.
Too. Whatever, it's good.
Is it though?
Patrick Stewart's amazing. Yes.
Patrick Stewart's always amazing, but that show.
I liked it better than the Star Trek. Is it? Yeah, Star Trek Discovery. Yeah. I didn't really like that one as much, even though we love Doug.
We love Doug.
I didn't love that, but I'm still willing to give it a chance. I am.
So, Heidi, what are you looking forward to in 2021? You had all morning to research what's coming out and the pop culture stuff in 2021. I gave you your own microphone. This relationship's getting way better now that we've found some semblance of equality. What are you looking forward to?
Please don't break up on the podcast.
Get out!
2021, what do you think?
I mean, I'm just excited for the possibility of maybe movie theaters eventually being open before the end of the year. I miss that so much. And that's like, we always like to go on little dates to see movies. And we even kind of dream a little bit. We'll pass by movie theaters, or sometimes at night we don't have anything to do. We'll be like, let's go to a movie.
Just in the parking lot.
Yeah, he plays. He does the yes and with me, though. He goes, okay, let's go. And we pretend like we're going to go to a movie
theater. Every now and then I'll break into a movie theater and just sleep there overnight. That's just what I do.
I'm excited for the return of Last Week Tonight. They always take the longest hiatus ever. But they should return after the inauguration, which I'm also excited about. The inauguration of our new administration. That should be exciting, right? And then hopefully better distribution of the vaccine as well.
Well, so far, so bad.
Not to get political. we can talk about more fun things.
20 million, and we've gotten 2 million distributed. And did you hear about this dude in Wisconsin who sabotaged 500 of them?
He got arrested.
Oh, my gosh.
He got arrested.
Did he sabotage them? I didn't know he
was a pharmacist who intentionally took 500 of the vaccines out and just left them to spoil.
Well, it was 50 of the vaccine vials. It would inoculate 507 people, but he took them out of...
Why? Why would he do that?
He's going through a divorce and he's crazy.
Is he really going through a divorce?
I read an article today because somebody on TikTok did the detective work and said, okay, who has a pharmacy, like a pharmacist license registered in Wisconsin, who's also appeared on the police, you know, arrest records recently, you know, for the date, and like took like three sources where this person would be public, and just compared three registers where this person would have popped up, and she found the name of the person, and they added him, and it's pretty hilarious, except for the fact that the guy, they did administer those vials, but they were not. I mean, it was like a placebo. Yeah. So those people, those 507 doses,
that's so sad.
They've not really gotten the first round of vaccines.
I don't understand why someone would do that. I don't.
Because Wisconsin is full of crazy people.
Okay. I don't know anything about it.
For a reason.
They think they're being martyrs. They think they're being martyrs for a cause and that they're just hurting people, which sucks.
It is sad the amount of, I guess, disinformation that's out there. I get a little freaked out by it. But
On the Star Trek talk, George Pepe says, Discovery is getting better.
I keep hearing that.
And Bolte says, I'm waiting for Picard. You can mute her mic now.
Who's
Bolte,
Mike?
How dare you?
Who's Mike? 80s or Mike?
You're Mike. I'm in control. Look, I have the mixer.
Why
I'm
would you
control.
Want to mute my mic if Bolte I'm excited for like Picard, though?
I think he's talking about me.
Bolte is playing the part of Incel Bot on today's episode.
Oh. No. Bolte also agreed with me that Orville is like the next generation.
Orville's funny.
Yeah.
Orville's
that's the comparison funny. I always hear is that it's like next generation. But I would say that movies are definitely like the thing that I'm looking forward to the most is having theaters and sitting in theaters and eating a inhuman amount of popcorn, as you've seen me do.
Our international premiere of our short film in India.
Yeah, we are going to play in India in May. Don't think I'm going to make that one. No offense, guys.
I wish we could.
I want to see live concerts. I think I'm with George Pepe. I want to see bands that, a year ago, I was like, I'll catch them next time. Is there even going to be a next time? Every single band that I love when they come back through LA, I'm definitely going to go.
I was so excited. We were going to go at Comic-Con this year. We were going to go see that. Like, it was, who was it? Green Day and Weezer and somebody else.
Oh, I was so excited.
Like, to see that with you guys would have just been phenomenal.
It would have been so fun.
I had Matt and I the other night were talking about, you know, the new equipment we bought for Geekscape and the network. We were talking about kind of like a Geekscape powwow, and we were talking about whether or not Comic-Con was going to happen, because even with the administration of vaccines, it's a tall order to get that many people vaccinated by July and have all that work. At the rate they're going now, it'll take 10 years for everybody to be vaccinated. But we are getting a new administration. That being said, I had this, you know, that night I had this stress dream.
Oh, yeah.
That I was at Comic-Con.
But with some good ideas in it.
Yeah, there's some good ideas. And I actually discussed them with George yesterday, and I'll run them past you now. We had a bigger booth. It wasn't a 10 by 10. It was like a 10 by 30. It was huge. And other people, like Matt's horror crowd, were like starting to build things into our booth. And I had to like negotiate with them to move or put things on the other side of the booth. And friends were showing up to do signings at the booth, like guests and stuff like that. And nobody was wearing masks. And like nobody in Comic-Con was wearing masks. And in my head, I'm just like freaking out and stressing out. And then as I'm trying to negotiate the politics of the booth and moving things within the booth and moving guests and finding guests, people are just starting to disappear. But where we were doing the interviews was a raised platform in the back of the booth where it was only about 2-3 feet above everything else.
Right.
But we had chairs up there and we could have a panel back there and conduct the interviews in a row, like back there. And when I woke up, I was like, well, that's part of the dream that maybe if we could do We have a 10 by 10.
I think we need two spaces to be able to really make that dream a reality.
Maddox never shows up anyway, so at least until Sunday we can.
Yeah, our neighbor Maddox doesn't show up. We can have a 10 by 20 for at least 3 days.
you could also try to negotiate the corner because you're almost on the corner there. Mm-hmm. Almost.
Corners are a little more expensive.
Okay.
But we'll see. I don't know. That's just a different price than the Comic Con.
And we could talk to Fawn about maybe building something.
Yeah, I think that if we had
play baseball, guys.
Yeah. I want to come back to Comic-Con, hopefully this year, with a little bit of a different thing. But if we can add, if we can take, 3 feet out and have a raised platform where Matt can put storage underneath, mm-hmm. who knows? Maybe we can have a little platform where people walking past can be like, hey, what's going on over at the Geekscape booth? People are getting interviewed.
We figured out storage finally after, 10 years.
Called Don't Let People Store Their Shit in Our Booth.
That's what I was going to say.
I mean, even the shirts, because coming up with the idea of hey, if we just had different shelves that had specific shirts on, it's a hell of a lot easier than digging through four different tubs that are underneath the table to find one shirt for somebody.
Us looking for shirts at Comic-Con was Derek deciding in February to dig into the ground for the next 10 months and not come out.
He's not even smiling anymore. You have broken Derek.
At this point, Derek was like, I'll come back when there's new Cobra Kai. And then he just burrowed deep and he just made a home there. He somehow managed to get a PS5 and an Xbox One.
That's right.
But y'all also have to learn how to say no to people when they want to store the stuff. You're always offering to let people store their stuff.
Yeah,
set boundaries.
We start selling it off after a while. If you don't come back at the end of the day, we sell it.
It goes into the giveaway box, too.
Yeah.
That big giveaway box.
We did a good job last year until somebody's posse just dropped off 7 bags of...
I know who that was. I know exactly who that was.
We love...
It's full of Macho Mans, and I didn't get any of them.
We love DMC, but... DMC's folks would go out on shopping binges during the day and come back with exclusives that they'd talk themselves to the front of the line to get. So Derek would come to it was probably pretty much the only way to get Derek on the floor.
This is when I was in Paris.
Derek would show up early to try and get some exclusive, a Macho Man wrestling figure or some Transformers thing. And Derek would show up right as they opened the floor. He would rush over to Mattel or whatever the vendor is, and he would try and get these exclusive toys, and he would always strike out. About an hour later, we would have DMC's crew, who we were sharing the booth, and we were hosting them at the booth. Mm-hmm. They would show up with 7 of the things and be like, yeah, we dropped DMC's name, and they let us buy these in front of the line. And they would just be like, hey, we're at DMC, and they would talk themselves to the front of the line, buy these things that Derek couldn't give a limb to buy. Derek was ready to cut off his hand for one of these Macho Man.
Well, the other big thing that you have to remember is that they would be like, oh yeah, we brought DMC over there and we got all these Mattel things. And then you would look and on DMC's Instagram page would be him looking completely bored to tears, standing in front of the Mattel booth with them tagged. And it was like, hanging out at Mattel.
They would parade him around.
That's why they let him get him, though, so that he'd take a photo.
Derek, you gotta join the crew is really what you gotta do.
You need to become famous.
Derek,
you gotta be an influencer.
Just like that.
My goal for 2021 is to be
You know who becomes famous? People who do podcasts. People who don't do podcasts.
I know any famous people that do podcasts? No, not really.
Derek, there's a great way to get famous. Do a video game podcast.
Katie, you can probably relate because you're an actor too. Do you have people in your family that are like, you know what you should do? You should be on a soap opera, or you need to be in that show Vikings. It's like, oh yeah, let me give them a call.
My favorite thing is when my grandmother used to be like, you know, there's so many commercials. And there's just so many commercials. I'm like, I realize.
How can you not book one? Why are you not on
that? I get the equivalent of, we just watched this movie. It was terrible. Yep.
I gotta draw attention to someone who just commented on Twitch because
Big Yank says, I've seen the DMC Entourage in action at New York Comic Con. It ain't pretty.
Bring up that old school comment that just came in through Twitch. This is someone I haven't heard in a long ass time.
Yep.
Straight pure out of Matt.
Canada. Your fellow Canadian, Derek, is Pure Evil Matt saying, Happy New Year, fellow geeks. That goes out to all of you listening as well. Matt, I hope you're well, dude.
Happy Happy New Year!
So I've got a question while we were talking about going to the movies. Let's say, hypothetically, we do actually get to go to the movies, and some of the films that were supposed to come out in 2020 that didn't come out get released in 2021. What are, like, maybe the top three that you are just super excited to get to see in a theater, like have that theater experience?
This is going to be a pretty insane Marvel year, just because they had two, three movies they were supposed to release last year. Like, we were already supposed to have seen Eternals in May. We were supposed to get Black Widow. Both those movies are going to be here. Shang-Chi was supposed to be a February release. That's been pushed. So already we have three bridging 2020 movies that we're going to get, in addition to maybe there's a lot of stuff that's filming already. Like, we got the third Spider-Man film. We've got Doctor Strange filming. We've got a lot of stuff that on the Marvel cinematic side that is filming that we could all get by this time next year, which is psychotic, because we will also be getting three Marvel shows by this time next year. When you talk about Loki going backwards, Winter Soldier, Falcon, maybe we even get the Hawkeye series, but in about a week or two or three weeks, we're going to end up getting WandaVision. So it's going to be a lot of Marvel this year.
Yeah, I'm excited for WandaVision. Every time I see a trailer for it, I get more excited for it. It looks like it's going to be trippy as all hell.
It's going to be trippy as all hell, and I feel like it's just going to crack the universe open completely. It's leading to so many different things. Yeah. Let me just dip my toe into a different genre of geekdom and say that I'm very excited to finally see In the Heights.
Four things written down, and In the Heights is my number one. I've been waiting for that for so long.
Dying for that movie to come out. Like,
I was glad that we got Hamilton this year through Disney Plus, but I really want, like, Hamilton was very cool. It's easily the coolest way that anyone has ever done a live Broadway recording. Mm-hmm. But I want it, like, that sit down and just enjoy, like, a cinematic musical that's just shot crazy with, like,
cameras panning around, like, there's an actual set. Yeah.
Was Into the Woods not shot that way? Because I'm not talking about the movie. I'm talking about the, like, original Broadway cast. Like, I watched that, and it was good. Just,
like, it had, like, three, it was like a three camera type of setup. There's, like, push-ins, and that, like, it wasn't like, Hamilton was like,
I loved it.
Yeah, has anybody ever watched those Shin Lu previews that you see on the billboards? Has anybody watched those? You guys know what I'm talking about. Like, in every city, there is a preview for this, like, Asian ballet called Shin Lu or something. Has anybody seen one of those? Because we're counting them out, and they might be in the running. We just don't know, because I don't know a single person who goes to the theater to watch those ballets and stuff. Fathom events.
I love that.
I used to go to the Fathom events. For a brief time, you could go to Fathom events on your movie pass, and then they realized that it was way more expensive than a normal ticket, and they stopped it. But for, like, a month, I was like, all right, I'll go see the opera. I'll go see the ballet. Awesome. Like,
it's cultured. It's tight. The last movie we saw on MoviePass was
search function under on my Instagram, it's, like, all ballet, ballerinas, because I'm a geek for ballet.
So kind of in the same vein as, like, not a normal film, like, we're talking about ballet and stuff, Christmas morning, they dropped that sneak peek of what's going to be the Beatles documentary that Peter Jackson was watching, and I was like, I am ready to just sit in a theater for 2 hours and watch vintage Beatles footage.
I was absolutely going to bring that up, and you beat me to it. But yes, high five for that. I'm so excited about Get Back.
Now, the preview came up on Disney Plus. Is that a Disney Plus release that's also
potentially
in theaters? Can I sit on my butt at home and watch that?
No, I think his plan is that he's like, yo, I want this to be a theatric thing. So I think he's sitting on it.
It has to be.
So Big Yanks is back, and he says, you know what? I'm from the Heights, and I've never seen a bodega poppy break out in song.
Really? You haven't?
About time.
Someone just, like, bust out the egg and cheese sandwich and just go, lights up in Washington, lights up at the break of day. Oh, come on. I'm so excited for that movie.
The only other two, originally Soul was definitely going to be on this list, and then at the 0 hour, Disney came through. But what's crazy to think about, because 2020 was obviously like a decade long year, is that Soul isn't even my favorite Pixar release of this year, because Onward came out in like the beginning of this year. And Onward is like arguably one of the best Pixar things that's ever come out. But There's also Raya, the Last Dragon, that Disney's been working on that I'm very excited for. And the other one is Edgar Wright's newest movie last night at Shoho. I know nothing about it, but if it's Edgar Wright, I'm going to check it out because that dude is just, everything he touches is amazing.
Yeah, Baby Driver I thought was his best movie. It was fantastic. Like, and I love his movies. And
yeah,
to say that, you know, one that, it's just Baby Driver, I was thinking about it yesterday. And just how good the rhythm in that movie is, yeah, and how precise his directing was across the board.
I feel like that would be one that wouldn't feel right watching just on my couch from home. Like, Edgar Wright's movies are such, yeah, they're just such cinematic films.
Let's talk about Soul for a bit, because we didn't review it in any other part of the podcast, but I thought Soul was great. I knew almost nothing going into it other than a little bit of the cast and some of the art, but the plot, like, totally took me by surprise.
Pixar, I said this to someone else, but Pixar are the kings of not showing you what the movie's about in the trailer.
Yeah.
Like, we were talking about that. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I feel like they actively animate and record dialogue that isn't in the movie just to throw you off, because they're just like, it's Pixar, you're going to go see it. So, because the only thing I could compare it to for something that took me that by surprise was like Brave. Like, Brave was not advertised as what the movie Brave actually is at all.
How was it advertised?
It was literally just the way that Soul was advertised made it feel like the whole movie was just going to be them as those blue blobs.
Oh.
And that's all they ever showed you was like them. And that's like maybe 15 minutes of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it kept having new transformations and leaps. And I don't want to spoil it here, but I thought it was awesome. But I do agree with you, Matt. I thought Onward was an overlooked movie that I loved so much. And I also went into the theater not knowing that it was going to be what it was about. Mm-hmm. I knew it was going to have some fantasy element, but the fact that it was about brothers, you automatically got me on that.
Yeah, you and I think probably had the funniest thing about that was when I saw Onward, you know, I was crying like crazy because I'm a crier. And I was like, oh my God, I feel like this is about my brother. Like, my brother and I, but I didn't want to say anything about it. Like, I was like, I don't want to tell him. I don't want to, like, give him that vibe when he goes and watches it. And then he texted me, like, a month later because it dropped on Disney Plus. And he's like, so I put on Onward. And he's like, we're about 50 minutes in the movie. And my fiance looks at me and goes, you realize this movie's about you and your brother.
That's funny.
Well, and it's so funny, too, because, like, it's also the, like, dead parent thing that really hits home.
Yeah.
Spoilers, I guess, but not really at all. Mm-hmm. And, like, I was like, oh, my God, this movie's about me and my sister. And, like, in some of the sacrifices, I was just, like, I was weeping the whole time. I was is such an incredible movie. I watched it at home. And I text my sister. I was like, you got to watch this movie. And she's like, yeah, it was nice. And I was like,
yeah. No, how dare you? Yeah. This is like
the watch Soul, and Soul is a movie that is also about mortality and whether or not you've used it or appreciated every day, or your gift, or what your gift is to the world, or your inspirational spark is to the world. And I thought that took me by surprise, and I was like, this movie's about mortality? Oh boy, here we go, Pixar.
It's about the mortality best and like
Pixar's
passion.
Crushing it. They're crushing it.
They really are. And it's something I tweeted out. And like,
when are they not though?
But like, but that's the
but
thing
I mean,
is
like, this is like the run of like Coco, Onward, and then Soul is like the
anything
best
after Coco
three in a row.
Is like, it's like, all mind blowingly good. That's the thing about Pixar is that like, when you sit down to watch a Pixar movie, you will likely be changed just by like, it's so well done. And I think the thing that was wonderful about Soul is that it's not like about like wasting your time in life or anything like that. It's kind of more about your passion doesn't define your life. Mm-hmm. And like, your passion is a part of your life and should like, you know, be a part of your life and be throughout your life, but it's not the thing that defines your life. And that's the thing that was just, it was so beautifully done. And it like, it also, every like person that I know that is in the arts that also teaches, I've reached out to them. I was like, you have to watch this movie. You have to go watch this movie. Anybody who feels like they're stuck just like teaching the next generation to be a better generation of whatever art it is, I'm like, you got to watch this movie and you got to like really watch this movie.
Eric, did you watch it? Because I think it might. Yeah, it probably sparked you to do the podcast.
No, it's fine. Like, I'm super stoked for it. It's one of those things. I've been waiting to watch with Michaela, and we haven't had a lot of time off together, so I'm very excited for it. I just on the topic of how Pixar keeps just like nailing it out of the park. As much as their non-Cars sequels have been just excellent as well, like their ability to just create like every one of their worlds feels so vastly different, and the worlds that they build are just breathtaking, and yeah. like just for just the nuance that exists in inside of everything that they do is just like, regardless of how amazing the movie is, it's like there's just so much in it aside from that as well, and I just like everything that they do, I just can't wait to see. And today could be the day for Soul. Otherwise, in the next few days, I'll
it's a good day. Grab the tissues.
It's also one of those things where like you have to appreciate Pixar because you did make a, like you mentioned the Cars films, which are definitely I think the lowest tier. But like there's something that's cool about the way Pixar is run, where it's almost like they know that like Cars and Toy Story are these two franchises that will finance them to do all of the weird Cars alone shit that they want to. Yeah. Like, it's really cool.
One thing that I wanted to add was when Katie said that everything's in Coco, let's keep in mind that Toy Story 4 is in that stretch, a movie that I really liked, but is a controversial movie amongst Pixar fans or fans in general, because not everybody loved Toy Story 4, but I really did. I thought Toy Story 4 had the same kind of melancholy that, talking about Edgar Wright again, that, you know, when you think about a movie like, what was the last one that Edgar Wright did in that trilogy?
World's End, which was very controversial between people who love it or hate it. Yeah.
But it also had that sort of like melancholy to it about aging, getting too old, and what, like, are these your friends? Like, how do you move on in a sense? And that's what I loved about Toy Story 4 was the maturation of it, you know?
Yeah, but the series two being, you know, the series two being like me being 30 now, like each one of those movies came out and, you know, it's very much, I feel like at the age where I was right around the age of Andy, for instance, at each one coming out. And so the lessons learned and the similarities of the things you're going to at each of those steps along the way, including Toy Story 4 and the, you know, idea of letting go of people and everything like that. Like, I feel like I'm getting goosebumps just talking about, like, these movies. They're so effective.
You're ready for Soul, then. Put down the Cobra Kai for 2 hours. Right.
You can deal with some good content, yeah.
Dougie Grigg from Facebook, who I think I butchered his last name. If not, I can butcher it again. There's a book called Creativity Inc. that is written by one of the founders of Pixar that goes into detail about why they make movies the way they do. It's an incredible read. I imagine it is.
Actually, Mark has the Pixar rules. We have them mounted on our wall.
Just those Pixar rules that is every now and then published on Twitter or shared online. Those Pixar rules are law. They should be storytelling law.
They should.
Especially if we're going to make another Wonder Woman film.
We were going to watch Soul or Wonder Woman, and we watched Wonder Woman first.
And again, I like Wonder Woman. Go back in the feed. You can hear us talk about Wonder Woman.
I'm looking forward to it now.
It's a movie I enjoyed watching.
Yeah.
Enjoyed watching it, but there's some head scratching story stuff in there where adhering to the Pixar rules would have really helped a lot. I think every movie animated, and especially live action, should adhere to those rules. Pierable Matt's back, and he says, on the topic of film musicals, anyone see the 2020 remake of Valley Girl?
Yes, we have. We went to our first drive-in movie, didn't we? We saw something. What was
saw the movie that Horror Movie Night recommended.
Mm-hmm. Vast Night, which is one of the most underrated films of 2020 by a mile.
Fantastic movie. Vast Night is really cool, minimalist.
It's a Twilight Zone story. It's fantastic.
When you go to a drive-in theater, most of them do double features. So the second one was
Valley Girl 2021.
So we were in a car next to our friends and kind of texting and calling back and forth to each other, kind of
just hate Tom.
kind of making fun of it a little.
I'm not familiar with this musical.
That's okay. Anyway, next.
Okay.
Katie, I will tell you.
Is this like the room level, or is this?
No, but here's what you need to know. No, it has one of those Jake Paul brothers as one of the leads.
Oh, I'm out. Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah, and the movie was delayed like 2 years because of his whole fiasco with the suicide forest in Japan and him being a kind of trash person.
Yeah.
So
it's the brother that I did not lock in a cage in that YouTube Red show.
Heidi was in a YouTube Red show and like
how many brothers does he have?
One of them.
There's only two. It was the other one. I think it was like
too many.
It was like Jake. I can't remember if it was Jake or Chris, but
so Aaron's not in the mix of this.
I don't even know that guy's name.
Aaron. Maybe it was Aaron.
They're not too popular in LA because they have their maskless COVID parties like everywhere. They got kicked out of like West Hollywood, hated them, and they moved to Calabasas. They hate them. Like it's just pretty easy to hurt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you like that they have that they're trying their boxing career because you just want to see them get their shit beat out of them. But yeah, that we did see the 2020 remake of Valley Girl.
It was out in like April, I think.
Zach Haddad says, no one's excited for Space Jam 2? No.
Well, have you watched Space Jam 1 lately? It's not that good.
Of course it's not good. It was made in the 90s. It's terrible. It's as a kid's movies in the 90s, you know it's campy as hell.
Listen, as someone who's done a couple nostalgic episodes of Horror Movie Night, like, Space Jam is an almost unwatchable movie. Incredible soundtrack. Like, arguably one of the best soundtracks of the 90s. Got one of the greatest posse hip-hop tracks of all time with Hit 'Em High, where you've got LL Cool J, Method Man, Coolio, Busta Rhymes, and Be Real from Cypress Hill, all dropping verses. Fantastic. However, that movie is garbage.
Literally
next week, Horror Movie Night's dropping an episode on Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, which is older than Space Jam, so don't give me 90s special effects, because Honey, I Shrunk the Kids is great.
I love that.
And that's a giant Wayne Knight fan. So for him to in his soul,
Wayne Knight and Bill Murray are the two saving graces in that movie. You know what that movie is? It's certainly not an actor's choice film because, listen, Michael Jordan did a lot of great things. He gave me a great documentary to watch this year.
I was waiting the whole time to find out like what happened on Space Jam. Yeah, and like it was like a couple episodes in, and they covered it for like 5 minutes, and that was it.
Yeah, because so, there's nothing good to be said about it, and he knows it, and he produced that documentary. So it's like, let's not ruin.
Even
it.
Even back then, I was like,
thing positive is my friend Eric Bauza is one of the voice actors on the Looney Tunes characters now, and I would like to maybe him on the show when that movie comes out. But
heck yeah,
I'm going to see Space Jam 2.
My memory of Space Jam 2 has nothing to do with Space Jam 2. It has to do with the meeting I had with a former basketball NBA player, and he pitched me in the midst of talking about a completely unrelated topic. He just brought up Space Jam and said, here's my pitch for Space Jam 2. And at the end of the pitch, I wanted to bring up that clip from Billy Madison that is like, what
everybody is stupid. Yeah.
It's one of the most, I mean, I like the dude. He's a good dude. And, I sat through his take on Space Jam 2, and
speaking of takes, I feel
blood coming out of my nose at the end of that.
No one took my take for Sister Act 3, but a Sister Act 3 is coming soon. Did you hear about this? Sister Act 3.
Yeah.
I'm so pumped for that.
What is your take on Sister Act 3?
Okay. Sister Act 3. Okay. In the first one, they basically saved the Catholic Church, right? So in the second one, they saved the youth and the Catholic Church. In the
cannot do the same thing.
The third one, you save the LGBTQ community and the Catholic Church. All right. So we get the Queer Eye cast come in. They're set in San Francisco, so we're already in the heart of it. And, I mean, I can't remember what it was. I had an article on S9 Wisdom about it. But
can you save the Catholic Church and the youths at the same time? I don't think that's possible.
Well, they did in Sister Act 2.
It was a very dark joke, John. Went over like a lead balloon in this. But,
they already did it.
So Derek also raised the really. So Derek,
I know what
earlier,
you're going for, but I just avoided it. I avoided your. Go ahead.
I was going to say, so like Derek's wearing his Cobra Kai shirt. Obviously, Cobra Kai is back. I don't know any new shows that are coming except for things that people might be shooting a pilot for. But is there any shows that you discovered during the pandemic that like now you're really excited for a new season to be dropped?
Oh, yeah. Heidi's watched about 18,000 shows during the pandemic.
I'm sorry.
I want to hear it.
Answer,
Katie. I just avoid the living room like a
Ted fucking Lasso. Ted Lasso.
Oh, yes! Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso. It's so good.
It's still good. We're rewatching.
Ted Lasso better than Cobra Kai.
It made me miss England, too.
Probably. But they're very different. It's not as fun as Cobra Kai.
You liked Ted Lasso when I saw bits.
I'm a sucker for merchandise. If they had Ted Lasso merchandise, I would probably buy some.
They should at least have merchandise of the, I feel like they do.
Mark's brother actually made him a sweater that's a Ted Lasso. It's the team, the club team sweater. It's really dope.
Yeah, they should have like a kit you can buy, you know, like the football kit. Like that, you know,
I want the Mexican character's jersey. That's what I want.
Coach, football is life.
I want football is life. Yes. I want football is life.
He's the best. Life. Yes.
It just makes me miss England. So it was like my way of visiting again, too.
And no one says fuck quite like Roy.
It's true.
It's the best fuck I've ever heard. Fuck.
It's the best.
Apparently, he's a writer. He's a writer for the show.
Is he really?
Yeah, the guy who plays Roy.
That makes sense, actually.
Big Yank says he's already binged Transformers War for Cybertron. Probably the second season is what you're saying there on that one, Big Yanks, because this is the second season that just dropped. Our good friend and former Geekscape guests, FJ DeSanto, Brian Anisted, Gavin Hignite, they are all writers and producers on that show. So I watched the first season of Transformers War for Cybertron. It looks beautiful. I wanted it to move a little bit faster, but now if you've seen that season, you know that the second season, they're coming to Earth. They're off of Cybertron and they're like escaping to Earth. And like, that's where I think that things are going to kick in for at least somebody as ADD riddled as myself. you know, that's how I feel. What about video games, everybody? We had a comment, earlier.
I'll see you guys later.
Dougie says the other thing that 2021 should hopefully give us is Mass Effect being back on top of the RPG pile. Derek, do you have an opinion? I'm just trying. Maybe I can cut this off.
The first thing I would say there, does re-releasing the first three of your games put you back on top of the pile? Like, I don't think we're getting a new Mass Effect this year.
Unless they change the endings, but no.
That said, I have never played like Mass Effect. So I am really looking forward to the trilogy re-release. I tried to play the first one, and this was like a year or so ago, and the combat and the way that it played was just so clunky at that point that I fell out of it very quickly, and then I didn't want to move on to the second one because, you know, the story, it's a very, very narrative-driven game, and I didn't want to, like, spoil things or miss any of that. So I hope that they kind of rework some of that for the trilogy because I'm really looking forward to hopefully starting that first game again and then playing through the series.
He cleans it up and says the first two, but the third is a dumpster fire on the Mass Effect series. That's what he said.
One of the reasons why I've never played the third one. I loved the second one. The second one is probably my favorite, but yeah.
I jumped into about 10 hours of Andromeda thinking it was disconnected or a prequel or whatever the story was in that one. And I actually liked what I played. I know everyone chat on it because it was very, very buggy at launch.
Not cyberpunk, Bucky, but pretty buggy.
I do want to hear about the cyberpunk. I got it
for Christmas, and I'm very excited.
Cyberpunk, bugs. But George Pepper says Overwatch 2 and Baldur's Gate 3 are two that he's looking forward to.
Yeah, that's right. Go
ahead, Katie.
I was just saying those are really exciting. I'm excited to see what new things are going to do with Overwatch because I felt like I played that into a wall and I was kind of bored by it by the end of it. But I'm very excited for Horizon Zero Dawn Forbidden West. I've been saying it for ages and Senua's Sacrifice Hellblade 2. Super. Yeah,
it's going to be a good PlayStation year, I think, too. God of War should come out this year.
Is it going to, though? Is God of War going to come out?
It's supposed to, I think, but I think it's been such a weird year, and it's going to continue being weird for a while. I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of these big tentpole titles not make their original release dates.
Much like a certain Zelda game I've been waiting for ages.
They never announced it.
They never announced it, but
never announced a release. And you could have very well have just tied yourself over as I did by playing Age of Calamity, which is a prequel. And Katie, You're never going to play Age of Calamity, are you?
It's I mean, probably it's okay not. If you don't. I mean, I might. I ended up getting Animal Crossing because I was like, I don't know what other games I want. Like, I definitely
stopped playing that in August, Katie.
I know, but I'm like super into it now. Like, I'm starting Pandemic over again.
She's like, Tiger King season two, bring it. Bring it.
No, I'm excited. Like,
Love is Blind season two, let's go.
I was excited you got that Genesis thing there so I could play Tetris.
I got a retro Genesis. I got all the retro. I just used the pandemic to be like, I'm going to collect all these retro consoles. So I played through Age of Calamity, and for all the Zelda fans, no spoiler, but I think we have another timeline split because Age of Calamity takes place 100 years before Breath of the Wild. And the whole time I'm playing Age of Calamity, I'm like, okay, this is 100 years before Breath of the Wild. There's a character that's not in Breath of the Wild that's introduced from Zelda's childhood that goes back in time 100 years to kind of start all the events of Age of Calamity. I'm just going to spoil Age of Calamity because Katie's never going to play it in Geekscape. It's fun to play, but this is a story. They start pulling the champions from the future back about halfway through the game. They start pulling the champions from the future that we know from Breath of the Wild back. And I'm like, okay, now things are looking better, but I always expected the game to end with Link being frozen and sent to the resurrection chamber so that 100 years later, he could start Breath of the Wild. No. Here is a spoiler.
Interesting.
They end up, like, the game ends with Link cutting Ganon in half straight down the middle in one of the coolest cinematics. Find it on YouTube if you're not going to play the game. And it is,
maybe I'll get like, it for that.
Really awesome. The cinematics in the game are awesome, but it totally negates Breath of the Wild because they defeat Calamity Ganon in the original 100-year earlier war.
But wait, they're pulling the warriors from the future. The warriors are...
They send them back, but why would they send them back? They just they just defeated Ganon's army. And so I think you're going to see a revised... You know how Nintendo's always doing those Zelda timelines and there's a split at Ocarina of Time because of the time jumping? There's going to be another split here where either this character does go back and win the war 100 years earlier, or Breath of the Wild gets to play out. Because it felt to me like the negated Breath of the Wild with this game, because they defeated Ganon when they were supposed to defeat Ganon, and Breath of the Wild was supposed to be 100 years out of the beat. Because they want Zelda nerds like us to talk about this shit.
I mean,
And ultimately, the gameplay is still awesome, so we're going to play it regardless. In any Zelda, we're going to play Breath of the Wild too, because it's going to be awesome.
I mean,
and I'm going to pretend that this little fever dream of Age of Calamity didn't even happen.
But that's the thing. It's like, why did I get the game?
That's a completely different look, too.
It was fun.
So
it was a lot of fun.
All right. I'll consider buying it. I'll consider it.
She's not going to buy it.
When it gets to like $20, Katie, have fun.
That's when I jump on it.
Yeah, totally.
Isn't it a Nintendo published title? Do they ever get to $20?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Years. Capcom developed it because Capcom does all those.
Yeah.
Capcom does a good job with some of those games. What are some of the other video games that are coming out in 2021 that we think are worth hoping that they come out in 2021? And we still have to talk about Cyberpunk and all the bugs y'all have experienced.
There's a few smaller. I'm really looking forward to Windjammers 2. I've been pushing that one for a while, but it's this Switch exclusive competitive frisbee battle game, basically. It was originally a Neo Geo published arcade game in 1994, and then this company called like .emu or something bought the rights to it. The first one is on Switch and it's all retro styled, and Michaela and I have, it's just like two player, like one-on-one. Michaela and I have put countless hours into just playing this like ridiculous frisbee game.
The Joy-Con to throw a frisbee in the living room?
No, it's no motion controls. It's just really simple. Like, you're using the joystick.
What's the point? If you can't break shit in your living room, what's the point?
But yeah, at PAX back in 2019, the last PAX so far, it was like the one booth, you know. PAX I just love so much because it's like the convention where no one's really trying to sell you anything, because half or more of this stuff isn't out yet. You couldn't buy it if you wanted to, type thing. So it's really just like I'm walking around like noting games that I would like to try or that I think are cool. And that, you know, this Windjammers 2 game we kept going back to it and we kept playing it. This was before we started playing the first one. Like Windjammers 2 was our first introduction to the series. And it didn't come out in 2020 for whatever reason. This little 2D simple game needed to be delayed. But I'm very much looking forward to it coming out in 2021. And yeah, it's like I'm pretty sure it's super cheap and it's super simple. Playing by yourself, probably pretty boring, but if you have someone to play it with, just hours and hours and hours. We've just played this game back and forth. So,
dude.
Derek, did that thing ever come out that y'all previewed on games? The Playdate where you wind thing before?
That I wrote on my list I was looking forward to in 2021 as well. Pandemic, you know, it was...
out in March, is that true?
It was supposed to come out, I think, spring-ish of last year.
What is the Playdate for people who don't know what it is?
It's made by this company called Panic, who last year published Untitled Goose Game, which everybody loved. They are a company that traditionally makes Mac apps, actually, and they make some really good Mac apps, but they decided that they wanted to make this little handheld console in the vein of just like I think Game & Watch and all that sort of stuff. So it's this little yellow kind of Game Boy looking thing, but it's way smaller than it looks when you look at pictures of it. It's got like a crank. Yeah, it's got regular controls, but it also has this crank that you can crank to certain games, like move the character. It sounds gimmicky, but it's really, really fun. But they worked with a bunch of legendary game creators. You know, they got the guy that created like games like Katamari Damacy and stuff like that to develop just these really funky, quirky games for the title. And you buy the Playdate, and I think every week for 12 weeks, a new game comes out on it, and you just get that with the cost of the unit. And they had plans for further seasons of games that you could buy as well. They were still in active development of like when I was at PAX back in 2019, I got to play with a prototype unit. They were still finalizing it at that point. So I think once the pandemic hit and they weren't able to go to the factories and that sort of stuff, it kind of put a bit of a pin in that for some time, but they did comment like last month that it was that they're trying to get it out this year now type thing. But so much fun. It's like one of those things that's like I think it
oh, I
could
it. I want
yeah oh yeah it's just such like a it just sounds cool. Like so much of a labor of love that I think it's gonna be just so cool. And the games, I played a couple of the games on it, and one of them, you're like this guy and you're just going through the same day over and over again, like trying to meet like a date or something like that, but you're playing with the crank and the crank like moves time forward. And so, but there's certain elements that aren't affected by time. So you got to like put the crank, move the crank forward and back to get in the right spot so that the things don't hit you. So you're not late for your date. And
that's such a cool idea for a game system.
Yeah. It was so much fun. I think it's like $149 or $199 US or something like that, but including all the games. And I think that it's going to be really cool once it finally hits.
This is very valuable information. I'd love to have a video game show on the Geeks Game Network where you could provide this for listeners.
Good details. Very good details.
These are really... You seem to know your stuff, Derek.
Yeah. Yeah, I... You know, it's...
It's weird, yeah. It's almost like it could be utilized more.
I don't feel good about it. Every time that I come on here, it's a blast, and I have so much fun. And then I think about doing it, and then I freeze up, but I'm... trying to work myself up to it. I don't know.
Katie,
I think it's
your ASMR. Can you heal? can you stop? Can you break the blockages in Derek to get him to host a video game show on the network?
How's it going, buddy? All right, so you know a lot about gaming, right? You know a little about gaming.
You're a little quiet.
Am I? Okay.
That's ASMR, bro.
Hey, Derek. You know a lot about gaming. And we love hearing all these details because there's stuff that we don't really know about.
Well, if I wasn't going to do it before, you know.
This is
Derek. If Katie is your co-host, keep in mind it's one of my shows. Don't be like that.
I would love to set something up like Kate with Katie, and I had so much fun talking to Shane the other week as well.
I think that
it would be great. I think I just need to send you guys an email and start figuring it out. And it's like that first step is the hardest type thing. I don't know. I fell into, as a lot of people did, like a anxiety depression thing for a lot of the last year. And I think I'm still in that, but yeah.
I would argue we started that first step by doing the live stream and getting that conversation started already.
So the second step that Matt didn't set up is the hardest step. And
Derek, would you be mad at us if you found out that we were sending emails and we're going to add you to them? But Kane and Matt have already been talking, and I think Katie may be CC'd. They've already been talking about the potential return of it, that we just need to plug you into it.
if that's a real thing that happened, you guys are my favorite. Yeah. I mean, you guys are already my favorite, but you're my favorite before. But
would it be helpful to just like have like a list of things, like an Animal Crossing to-do checklist that you have to get accomplished each day? Would that be helpful?
If we make it like a video game,
Tom Nook is like, hey, here's some bells. Yeah.
If we made it like, positive reinforcement.
What if it's like a Miyagi-Do training regimen?
Okay. I got to wax on and wax off.
Because I think Christopher Robinson, who's one of our most astute Geekscapists, knows. He says, I think people like video games.
I think they do too.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Or do you want to go with like the Cobra Kai mentality where you're just like, get on it! Come on, man! Get on it!
I mean, that's the old Cobra Kai, you know. I don't think you watched the show deep enough. But
nope, I watched the first episode and I was like,
maybe if you play your cards right, you can be tall student in season 4.
You know, it's true. It's absolutely true. I keep trashing it and they'll definitely bring it.
They got Netflix money now. It's not that YouTube money.
Katie, this is a streaming thing. There's a lot of content. Mm.
Yeah.
That was my grandmother. That was my grandma.
Oh, got it. I was like, yeah, there is a lot of
these streaming shows are really cool. I don't know, acting in one of them?
And acting in a streaming content? Oh my gosh, yeah, that was.
They give them out on the corners, don't they?
Once they figured that out, that my grandparents too, they were just like, well, they have a lot of shows. Very supportive of my grandparents.
That's really funny. Yeah. That's not what I get. I always get, you know what, you should be on that Viking show, or you should be on Game of Thrones. You know what? You're right. Let me give them a call.
Yeah. My favorite though was when I was doing a lot of sketch comedy and you know what would be a good skit came up all the time. And I just, if I hear this word skit one more time, I'm a punch a screen. I'm a punch a screen there.
I know that is one of Katie's triggers. And the sad thing is I'm like a monkey with a button that gives you a treat, the treat being Katie's anger, and I just like punching it to be like, let's be clear,
skits are what you do in like third grade to learn about the food groups. Sketches are comedy based and usually have something to say.
Some
of those school skits were pretty funny.
No, they were not. They were lame then, too.
He finds the buttons and he pushes them. It's how he shows his love.
Okay.
Like every sketch is born as a third grade skit.
Speaking of Periable Man here, and he says, speaking of stuff Katie has acted in, when can we see Chasing Fletcher Allen?
Well, if you'd like to go to India.
Yeah, it's coming up. See it live in the theater.
We are still doing festival rotation, but as soon as we're done with that, we'll make sure it's available for people to see.
Yeah. You know, they do have a lot of streaming services out there.
For sure. Amazon takes quite a few. Just putting that out there.
To be fair, our boys in Punchline got their music special on Amazon Prime, so it can't be that hard.
No, I've been on Amazon Prime. You just have to add subtitles.
I've been looking into putting Stalking LeVar on there. I just have to do the closed captioning for it. So,
but she's too busy watching Bridgerton 4 times.
Oh, it's so good.
Fun fact that I learned through the guys in Punchline that they almost didn't get accepted on Amazon Prime in their music special because there's one clip that's pulled from, like, there's a guy who has a YouTube channel that brings bands in to perform. And because his logo was in the bottom left corner for about 5 seconds during that clip, Amazon was like, we don't allow you to have any promotional material for anybody that's not tied to Amazon Prime. And they'd be like, well, it's not a product placement. It's just a logo.
We use some of Blurred Out Punchline members' music.
We use Steve's music in it. Big Yank says, Heidi, you're a beautiful girl. You should go on that Bachelorette show.
Big Yank. High five, dude.
What if it's the one in Paradise?
Heidi, after a location.
Heidi, after the pandemic, I think that, you know, we want to travel so much and I can only provide so much. I think that I would allow you to go on The Bachelor.
Yeah, try to do that Too Hot to Handle show. I think they're going to do another season on that.
You get to talk to an Alexa.
Thanks. Thank you, I think. But
you can say that you're a dental hygienist and not an actor.
Right. Or I am a social worker.
No, so the flip side, listen. As someone who watched every Netflix reality show that they dropped this year out of morbid curiosity, they're not even like hiding what they are anymore. Too Hot to Handle, every single person was like, I'm an Instagram influencer.
Definitely not that.
Tasting them out of morbid curiosity means you watched the first episode. You watched all the episodes.
Too Hot to Handle had such a promising premise. And this is going to sound like the antithesis of what you should say about a reality show. But the concept of Too Hot to Handle was that they got like 10 of the horniest, like misogynistic people, and they put them on an island and they're like,
so they got Instagram models.
Yeah, they're like, there's $1 million. And every time you do anything sexual, we take money away from that pot. So you have to be as pure as possible to get the large sum of money.
Kind of amazing. And
I mean, I know. But then they also
were like teaching them how to be better people, and I'm like, I don't want to see these people grow. I want to see them get no money.
Okay, Heidi. Here we go. Let me just write down. Okay, I'm taking notes. And Matt, you've given me a lot of ideas. Post pandemic, Heidi, and I think you need to be more aggressive with your acting career. I'm just telling you that right now. I think you need to go. A lot of the jobs, and we did talk about the 2020 Valley Girl, are being given to YouTube and Instagram influencers. And I think that to kickstart the career, I'm writing a hall pass. Okay. I'm going to give you a hall pass that if you get on one of these reality shows, you get a hall pass. So, Heidi. You can absolutely, if you get on Bachelorette 7, Bachelor on the Moon, or whatever the
that
fuck
would mean
called.
I would be the Bachelorette, though.
Whatever you want to do.
Love is truly all of
Heidi, we just got to get your followers.
I think I'm too old. They like young people.
Okay. Well, try to get on Floor's Lava, then. That's like not even a relationship thing.
On that, about your age.
I got it. You'll just pitch them a new show. It's called Bachelorette Seniors. And it'll be everybody in their 30s.
We'll do a Bobcat Valley show where it's over 30.
Oh,
and
we'll call it
Hot Bags.
And John, do you remember the reality show that I pitched to you before the pandemic?
Where it was American Ninja with power tools, where there's like saws and shit.
I had this idea where I was like, all right, what if you did a show like The Bachelorette or The Bachelor, where like you have all these people that are clearly just in it for the money, but then the point of the show is that instead of setting them up with anyone famous or anyone rich, it's just like a guy like me that lives in his parents' basement and has like nothing really interesting to say. And the game is more so them trying to get themselves eliminated because they don't want to end up with the person.
It's not unlike this episode. I mean, watching the viewer numbers that every time Matt starts talking, we fluctuate wildly. No, I'm kidding.
Just they jump up.
Hot damn.
Big Ink says, listen, Heidi, on these reality shows, spoiler, the relationships never last.
Your relationships. Well,
yeah. I mean, really, like, Heidi, go get yourself 150,000 followers and just come back.
Okay, let me just get those followers. Hey, guys, make sure to hit the like and subscribe.
You're not going to get it here, trust me.
You have to, like, be on horror movie night for that.
Yeah, you have to be on horror movie night or the one hit thunder.
No, I think the funny thing is now
one of the many new shows from 2020.
Well, casting directors now apparently they look at that stuff and your star meter on.
They do, but also fuck it. Don't even pay attention to that shit.
I'm in light jail. Look at this.
I think you are.
The light is turning.
It's where you belong.
It's like it's gotten more intense as the.
We need a diffuse. Like a screen there.
They're called curtains. You need curtains.
I know. I hate these lines.
Blackout curtains.
That UV is not going to be good for that Van Damme poster.
I love the light in this
40
screen,
unmounted posters somewhere in his apartment that he bought from like the
they're
last.
They're in a portfolio and they're zipped up. There's no light that touches those. Okay.
Oh my god, that's so funny. I love that.
That's where
like
you spend the most money at conventions is posters.
Yeah,
the it's light charming.
There's screen prints.
There's screen prints.
They're not just
what I got.
Posters. Screen prints.
Lithographs.
Yeah.
Oh,
get it you got right. The things that even DMC wasn't awful. Needed to get.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel so, bad for you.
All right. Matt, you brought up a good point as we talk about Geekscape. There's new shows on the network. What are you bringing into the network? Look at Heidi fixing the light.
So here's I broke it into four categories. So the categories are going to be shows that we got just at the tail end of 2019. That was the Bulletproof Podcast and 91 Donkey Lane.
Both
delightful additions. Then I have the bucket of shows that we started in 2020, but then they just kind of quickly vanished, which includes the Roaring Twenties podcast, Do You Still Like This Movie, and Let's Play Arcade with Derek. And then finally...
Hold up.
Get back in there, Derek. Get back.
Do You Still Like This Movie, I liked because it was hosted by Word Burglar.
I think that will be back. I don't think that's gone for good. I think that was life changes happening simultaneously during a pandemic. But... Okay, he said Matt, he's planning to bring it back.
That show comes back, or you don't come back. You got that?
Fair enough. I got that.
Back, or you do not come back.
The Podfather
you take the
has
window,
spoken.
Or you take
oh, no. And then the shows that debuted in 2020 and are still up and running: One Hit Thunder with Chris Fafayos, Christmas 365, which it's only been a couple episodes, so give it time. Bingetown TV, which is just absolutely crushing it on all of the different TV shows. I think they're about to start doing the show The Magicians that was on Sci-Fi. Retroactive reviews of that.
During the pandemic or before the pandemic?
That's going to start in January. And then they're also going to do WandaVision. They'll do weekly updates on the WandaVision. And then we also got Saturday Morning Showdown with Don and Lee, where they watch the pilot episodes of Saturday morning cartoons and just have a breakdown of those. And in just a couple weeks, we are going to be debuting our newest show, I Love Trash, with Marie Maloney. Marie Maloney was the co-host of Robert Bacon of 91 Donkey Lane's old show, Adam Sandler, Please Stop. But she is a fan of trashy reality and Hallmark movies. So she is releasing a show just discussing that. I'm on one of the first episodes talking about Princess Switch 2, Switched Again, that came out on Netflix this year.
Is there any chance she's going to review the actual Geekscape network?
She could go for 15 years on it. So. And then obviously not shows, but we do have to celebrate that Geekscape helped produce not one, but two charity live streams this year. And I think whether a pandemic continues or not, we will probably at least make that Christmas one a yearly event, because that was a ton of fun to bring all of the different people from Geekscape together.
Yeah, that was awesome. And I know there was Geekscapists that put me on the spot during our Wonder Woman 84 episode that was like, hey, we're going to do a live stream for New Year's. I don't make it past 10 o'clock on New Year's. That live stream would have been me asleep.
I just remembered all those fireworks we heard last night, remember?
I was woken up at midnight because it was fireworks and or gunshots. For about
in Valley Village.
30 minutes. You had to have heard it too, Katie.
Maybe
like,
both.
I feel like it wasn't as much as I was expecting it to be, but people were getting those popping off like 3 minutes early, and I was like, hey, we still got a little bit of time before we're cooking here, guys.
It lasted so long. At 6 o'clock, I wake up and I'm like, it's so quiet.
I saw a tweet last night that someone posted that just said, well, it seems like my neighbors want to wish us a happy 8:45 p.m. right now. Like, yes, so that's true. How it felt all night.
Chris Robinson, MVP of the live stream, says the long live streams are amazing. Thanks. I would like to do them. And as I said earlier in the show, like the whole point of me investing in equipment over the year, like this mixer and the ability to add multiple microphones into it and still stream. We're testing it out now, right now. So Katie and I can do live shows in the new year whenever we can go back safely. And those should be streamed too. I did want to start live shows here in LA so that we could bring in celebrities and bring on maybe local sponsors and things for it and have an in-person live aspect to it. The live streams have kind of been the 2020 equivalent of that, but I think the live streams should continue and we should stream those live shows for people who don't live in LA and do that for all of you. We'll work it out because
maybe Valentine's Day. Maybe we'll do a big old Valentine's Day.
What else are we doing?
Yeah. We're geeks. Hey, yeah. For all you lonely geeks sitting home alone, we got you for 15 hours.
We're going to have Katie just ASMR you for 15 minutes.
Wait a second.
You guys, you can totally get a Valentine this Valentine's. All you gotta do is go into OnlyFans.com. It's
for those of you who are listening. It's
the most relaxing AMSR I've ever heard.
For those of you who are listening and not seeing this, whenever she's doing this, she's putting her face right up against the spit guard.
Yeah.
It's really funny. Yeah. You're very funny, Katie. You're
not,
so funny.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, not very
you should be on. You should just be on Saturday Night Live, you know? You should do that.
Just show up.
Karen just did that too.
Rockefeller Center.
Why don't you audition for Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, they do have really good skits on there, actually.
Chris Robinson.
Why, Derek, why?
We should have Chris Robinson produce for us because he just suggested, why don't we make it a matchmaking special for Valentine's?
Oh my God, do it. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You just get Chris to come in. And then,
why not? I'm trying to pimp Heidi on a reality TV for followers. Like, why don't we do this?
We then give them like a Google Meet link so that they can like go off and like people will also
break our room.
Yeah.
Interview them an hour or two later. Yeah. So tell us about your date.
Oh, y'all get God. To go chat and come back on Geekscape and talk about how things went. Yeah. I think that's a grand idea, Matthew. One thing that I've started to play with really only in the last 24 hours is what is it called, Matt? I sent you an invite to it. It is
Clubhouse.
And Clubhouse is cool. Like it's like Clubhouse is an app and you have to get invited to it. And I got invited like a month ago and then just didn't go on it that much because I didn't get it. But now kind of getting into it, our friend Hannibal Tabu, who's been on the show, who reviews comics weekly, he opened up like a panel discussion about the comics that came out this week. And I sat in the audience and I had an opinion. So I raised my hand digitally. They brought me in and I had my speaker and my phone and I kind of talked. So Bandcamp's different. Clubhouse is kind of a way to have like panel discussions online for, but they're all live. They go away. And so I kind of wanted to play with it. So today at 3, I'm going to do a Geekscape Clubhouse where we talk a little bit about it. Yeah, we are only going to do it for like 30 minutes.
Thanks for telling
me. Heidi, we're not doing shit. It's the new year and there's no work. So at 3 p.m. on Clubhouse, if you guys are in Clubhouse, we're going to talk about what we're looking forward to in 2021. And the whole point is that if you do these Clubhouse scheduled events 3 weeks sequentially, they allow you to make a group. And we are going to make a Geekscape group. So when y'all all join Clubhouse eventually, if you do, there'll be a place for y'all to hang.
But only if you're invited.
You get on. Yeah, you'll eventually get invited. It'll eventually open it up. But we're early adopters. Exclusive. I don't know. We'll see if it works. I don't know. I'm just trying with all these, you know, Parlor didn't help. So yeah, like,
we got nothing but time right now. So
I didn't get any traction on.
That's why everybody's got a podcast except for Derek.
Okay.
He's got nothing but time.
I love how 2020 saw 800,000 people start podcasts and Derek stopped.
Derek stopped three of
Give
them.
Give him a break. Y'all are giving him such a hard
He's
time.
He's Canadian. He has social health care. He can take it.
Oh, no. It's like me when I was like, oh, I'm going to write all these scripts. And then I was like, I don't want to do anything except stare at the wall. Like,
also, that healthcare does not include mental health care.
Does it not?
Bullshit.
Only if you're like, you know, really far down that road. But
That's too bad. That is unfortunate.
Derek was touch and go here for a bit. In July, I think you might have been able to apply. When Comic-Con came and went and didn't happen, I think he could have done it.
That was a rough week. That was also when you tricked me. I was like dog sitting for someone. You're like, hey, Matt, we're testing out something on StreamYard. Right. I don't know what's going on. Can you jump on real quick? And I jumped on and you're like, and we're live.
I like to play games with my friends.
Surprise game.
I was so not prepared for that. I was like, oh, God, I have nowhere to set this up.
How do you like this midday New Year's stream? That, like, earlier I was like, hey,
we're going to be awake for
this. Look at him. You spelled Parlor wrong, Christopher Robbins.
Right. Yeah, there's no right way to do anything with Parlor.
But you couldn't get any traction on Parlor? I can't imagine why not, sweetheart.
No. They're like, he's Hispanic. Don't trust him.
Magic, though.
All right. Anything we want to add as we wrap this up?
Rippity rap, rap. Tastic.
All right. Geekscapists, you can follow Geekscape and be a part of all the action on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Search for Geekscape. You'll find us. You'll find a Geekscape page on Facebook. You'll find a Geekscape club group on Facebook. Go ahead and join those. And obviously, as Matt said, we have lots of shows and we have a lot of pages for that too. So if you go to your podcast app and you search Geekscape, you won't only find like this show, but you'll find a ton of other stuff from One Hit Thunder to Horror Movie Night, Christmas 365. Go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and include the St. Mort show on there so you can listen to Matt.
No, you do not. Yeah. That shouldn't still be up there.
And eventually, when you refresh Geekscape on your podcast app, you'll find a video game show hosted by Derek and Katie and Shane.
Hell yeah.
And that starts next week.
And maybe so.
Network. I think that, Matt, I'm going to give you the same rule as the one for Word Burglar. You bring that show back or you do not come back. Okay. Do you hear me?
Derek, he's like, please, okay. Please. I know you don't care, but this is all I've got.
Be nice.
All right, friendos. Heidi's saying I have to be nice. Mm-hmm. Which
also,
is maybe
if you made it all the way to the end of this podcast and you come this far, go ahead and leave a review, but leave a review telling me what chair I should get for the new year because I need a new chair and I'm investing. Mm. So that's how we'll know that you've listened this far to the podcast.
We really need a new one.
A good chair.
We need a new one in here too.
Your favorite SNL skits that you've seen in your past.
The one did you guys see that skit where Eminem wanted a PS5?
Oh, you fucking guys.
Oh, when Eminem was writing to Santa Claus, that skit
was like a skit. Yeah, it was a good skit they had recently.
Why?
This is the Driving Cats one of
you know,
my favorite.
Katie, they do sketch shows. Yes, Katie, they do sketch shows. Katie effectively disconnected. And she's back.
That was almost like a funny skit right there.
Why would you do this? That was my... It's not a skit.
These skits are hilarious.
Show their love.
I love your skits. You.
The Harry Carey skit that made me get into comedy, actually.
Katie, show us your skits.
I was waiting for.
Oh my God, Katie, sell those skits.
I was on their website and they put like, and I was like, you need to take that down and you need to change that word right now. And they did. So I was just like a peon, like couple sentence article Katie. Type of person. And I was just like, you need to take that down right now.
Katie, if I went to San Francisco Sketch Fest and I walked around with a t-shirt that says show us your skits.
No.
People would be mad, but like that would be really funny.
I don't like it.
Well, Geekscapists, that's where we're going to start. It. You can also find
it. This is the second time that you've inspired a really offensive t-shirt in Geekscape canon. Unfortunately, right. The female gremlin don't get her wet shirts didn't sell very well in 2020.
Well, that's because we have not had a gremlin infestation.
That's
but
true.
These heroes were mass shirts sold really well. All right, Geekscapists, that's it. This is the end of the episode. You know what to do. I appreciate it. 2021 is going to be a new year. I can't say it's going to be better, but I know it's going to be a new one. And it's going to be fantastic. And Marissa, don't worry. We will not make only a mildly creepy t-shirt. We're going to make a fully creepy t-shirt. Later is 2020. We love everybody. And for Derek, Matt, Heidi, and Katie, Geekscape forever. Peace.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
I don't have to add it.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.